And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I mean, this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville. We got Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Glad to have Katie Britt here in the studio with us. Katie, thanks for being here again today.
Glad to be here. Excited to be up here and in this beautiful studio.
And speaking tonight at the Etowah County's Republican Party's Reagan Martin dinner.
Yes.
So that's going to be good.
That's an honor to be included. And you were just telling me that in the past it's been a really big function.
Oh, so. Yeah. This is the first, I think I mentioned off the air, this is the first time that the Etowah County Party has had its annual dinner since COVID. So I'm excited to see how the gathering looks and hopeful to see the party stalwarts out there with all their friends and, you know, welcome you.
Excellent.
Hey, let's get into issues. All right, you're running not just because you're Katie Britt. You're running because you're Katie Britt with a mission, I assume. So let's go ahead and just talk about issues. Depending on who you talk to, number one issue still appears to be the economy, largely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, average citizens are looking at still the cost of price of gas at the pump. How much does a loaf of bread cost? What's it take to send your kids to school? All these things. If we get a Republican wave, obviously we won't yet have a president who will sign the bills, but having a House and a Senate at the very least means
That's
you can
right.
control some flow. You worked in D.C. for a while. You've seen how that flow works. What do you think can be done in the remaining years of a Biden administration if we have a House and a Senate on the Republican side to help work the economy?
Well, first, the obvious, which means that they're not going to be able to pass bad legislation, send it on through to the president, and then put it into law. So that's obviously first and foremost the most important, but also just being that stopgap. So if you look in the Senate in particular, whether it's nominees or, basically the administrative state, being able to call them in and actually call them kind of
accountability.
Exactly. It's something that right now, you don't control those things and he's got the votes to push things through. So it changes the dynamic there. So you're able to stop some things, but then also creating a pathway for good legislation, creating a pathway to roll back some of the things that he's done, put that on his desk and put him in a corner. And I look at things like the border, we have to seal and secure the border. I mean, that would be one. You look at things like energy independence, but I believe in energy dominance. You look at all of the regulations that have been put in place. It is absurd. Did you know in the first 2 years of this Biden administration, he has put forth more regulation than in all 8 years of Obama? And so
I believe it. I mean, you could feel it. The burden on the business community, the burden on the energy sector, I mean, and the burden on farmers.
That's right.
It's gotten to the point of just being kind of a heightened ridiculousness.
He wants to put everyone out of business, make everybody's life harder.
But then everybody's dependent upon the government.
Exactly.
At that point.
And that's what this is about. I mean, it really is. It's about governing through fear and control and creating a state of government dependency instead of belief and dependency on the good Lord and your own hard work. And that shift is real. What we are seeing coming out of the Biden administration is intentional. And it's just such a stark contrast from what we saw under Trump, who said, for every one regulation that we put in place, I'm going to roll back two. And then he actually rolled back seven. Here you have somebody who is going to regulate and tax and spend his way and this country into great debt and unfortunately a dark place.
Well, let me ask you this. I just thought of this a minute ago. When Clinton had when the midterms happened during the Clinton administration, he recognized he was not going to be able to maintain his overly progressive path.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, I believe, happened a little bit with Obama, didn't he? He had a midterm whacking, if I'm
yes,
not mistaken.
Yes, he did.
Both of those administrations, less on Obama, more on Clinton, did somewhat of a pivot, realized mm-hmm. they had to begin working with the Republican majorities that they had in Congress. Do you sense anything at all out of the Biden administration that says there will be a pivot? Because he's about to get whacked.
No, I don't think that he even realizes what's going on right now, and that's probably the most unfortunate thing. You would have to recognize what's going on and what he's doing and be intentional about those things to know that he needs to redirect, and I just don't see that from him at all. I mean, we look back to the where's Jackie? Where's Jackie? We look into the things that he's saying here.
He fell asleep during an interview the other day.
Correct. I mean, it's sad. This is a sad state of affairs for our nation. So the only, in recent memory, I think the only person who has had a midterm where we actually gained seats was Bush, and that was right after 9/11.
Yeah.
Obviously, the country was coming together and really unifying in the face of what we had seen. So there's definitely going to be a red wave, but I don't see him making any kind of change. I mean, this is the man, Phil, who told us he was a moderate, and he governed as we're going to bring unity to the country, and he did to tear us apart in those first 100 days, taking the country so far left, basically going to AOC and saying, what's your wish list? And Bernie Sanders, Bernie, you go ahead and put some on there too, and I'm going to check off every single box for you.
Okay, but you said something a moment ago, and I want to jump back to that real quick. You talk to folks in D.C. all the time. You've got your finger on the pulse of what's already there, because not only do you have connections from your own time there, but you're running for the office and you're talking to the people that are helping the elections process. Do folks in D.C. believe that Biden is cognitively solid, or is it the sense in D.C. that he's really not? Because we watch the news, us sitting out here being pundits, we look at it and go, good Lord.
You know, I really haven't had an opportunity to talk to many people in D.C., but just the people here on the ground. I mean, I think your real pulse is on everyday Americans, everyday Alabamians, and they are watching it, and nobody is fooled. Nobody is fooled. And so I will say what I've heard from the people in D.C. when I did speak with them was just, I said, what's going on here? And they said, well, what you have is you have Obama's playbook, and you just have them taking it to the next level. They just took where they left off, and they're finishing it out. Because I think a lot of people have questions about who's pulling the strings and whose agenda is this. And that's what it looks like, is Obama's on steroids.
Well, listen, we're up against a hard break right now. You're staying through the break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to talk about some other things, more cultural.
Okay.
You hit on some economic. You mentioned briefly border security. We can hit all those again, because we could talk all day about those things. But I want to talk about parents, culture, education, your thoughts on what we're seeing culturally speaking, and why parents should be stepping up to the plate in this election cycle to vote people into office that will care about values.
I am excited about that. Thank you.
All right, let's do that. Music's on. Boomer, we're going to break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're here in live in studio with Katie Britt, soon to be the next U.S. Senator from the great state of Alabama. We'll be right back.